This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Kusi Chuang and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. We've got a poll running on Twitter right now. Should there be a vote of no confidence against the Prime Minister? Let us know what you think on BFM Radio. This is obviously something that has been brought up in the news as I think Tun Mahathir is looking at a motion when Parliament reconvenes. But right now, we've got a little bit of a... In half an hour, we've got the breakfast grill. And Noel, why don't you let us know what's happening during today's grill?
This grill is really timely because, at one point, crude oil prices were at one point hitting negative prices and lockdowns in countries. Also, the oil and gas sector has been hard hit. Can Malaysian oil and gas service providers weather this storm when every oil national is cutting costs and terminating contracts? So Wong Xiaoning will be discussing these issues with Tan Sri Shahril Shamsuddin, CEO of Sapura Energy. They will also discuss renegotiating how Tan Sri will renegotiate the refinancing of, I think, Sapura huge debt of 10 billion ringgit.
I mean, if you're anyone who pays attention to the oil market or just business news in general, this is going to be something that you want to tune into, definitely. But right now, speaking of business news, the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted every aspect of the economy. So today we're taking a look at the banking sector, which is, some say, it's the best barometer of the economy, or at least the wider economy. Now, across ASEAN region, banks are preparing for a higher ratio of non-performing loans now that companies' cash flows have been severely impacted by the pandemic.
And of course, we've got the Deputy Governor of Bank Negara, Jessica Chew, recently telling The Edge that we should expect to see NPLs to rise. NPLs, obviously, non-performing loans. And meanwhile, with lower interest rates across the region and sluggish loans growth, obviously there's concerns about how it might impact bank earnings in the quarters ahead.
So a preview of what is to come is perhaps the Singapore banks, which have reported net profit declining for quarter one 2020 compared to the same period last year. And in fact, I think in the States, we saw higher provisions for losses during their earnings call. And back to Singapore, DBS reported a 29% profit drop, UOB 19%, and OCBC 43%. So how will COVID-19 continue to impact the banking sector in Asia? For more on this, we speak to Harshvardhan Modi, co-head of Asia ex-Japan Banks Equity Research at JP Morgan. Now, Harsh, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We are a few months into this pandemic now. What are some trends that might emerge across the region, particularly regarding loans growth and deterioration of asset quality in the last quarter?
Hi, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. A few points here. Absolutely, asset quality will weaken because it's simply banks have lent out money. Nobody was expecting this kind of pressures on cash flow and debt servicing. So that has become definitely an issue. Now, the way banks are dealing with it is very interesting. It's basically either it's forced moratorium, debt holidays, and thereabouts. Now, the hope is that most of these measures will help borrowers with temporary issues to solve and kind of come out of it. But some of the borrowers who won't be able to navigate this cash flow problem will ultimately become NPLs. Now, to what extent and how, that remains to be seen. So that's one concern. Second is, as you rightly said, it's loan growth, because yes, a lot of people need money right now. But as it happens that during most of the crisis or a downturn period, that banks tend to become more selective. They tend to reduce, become less accommodative in terms of credit standards. And that ultimately reduces the supply of credit. Though most of the governments or regulators, policymakers have put in alternatives. US has gone direct lending, directly from the Fed, what we call from QE to CE, quantitative easing to credit easing. And various central banks and policymakers are doing across the world. So they are trying to step in and ease some of the credit conditions, and partly help banks are navigating that. But yes, net loan growth will probably slow down. The third one, which probably is even more important than loan growth, I would add, is net interest margin. That the first step is banks are not charging interest rates or deferring principal for a while. But ultimately, at some point in time, as NPLs go up or banks restructure more of these loans, the interest income will also go down. So you have almost a triple whammy of slower growth, slower earnings from whatever loans are there in the book, and third is higher provision. So we are looking at a combination of issues to deal with.
How bad could it go, say, for the next quarter?
See, the thing is, next quarter, of course, depends on the extent of lockdowns or circuit breaker or whatever it is called in different countries. But it also depends on the accounting. So most of the banks, policymakers have taken pains to ensure that if it is a short-term issue, it doesn't get, it doesn't show up as a long-term destruction in productive capacity. So that is where accounting has been changed. And this is all the way from BIS to the accounting bodies to central banks. So you have various bodies stepping in and saying, let's not call something a permanent damage when it is just a short-term. So second quarter, coming to your question, do we see a very sharp spike in NPLs? Potentially, yes. But whatever that increase is will be much lower than the actual deterioration, because everybody is trying to figure out how much of this is short-term and how much is a long-term damage to that individuals or companies' ability to repay. So yes, net-net, it is going to be a bit weaker in second quarter versus first quarter, but to what extent, it is still evolving.
Yeah, Harsh, in your report, you point out, I think quite rightly in the case of Malaysia, that an economy with limited degrees of fiscal freedom, like it is in Malaysia, are more likely to use government-linked banks, GLC banks, for state policy goals. This will clearly diminish their ability to generate profits. But in the case of, say, Maybank, for example, they've underlined their commitment to paying dividends for this year, 2020 at least. How much further do you think, in that instance, dividends can be repaid?
Well, see, broadly, if I think about how the governments are dealing with it, one is broad measures, as we discussed, on allowing borrowers to get access to loans. But where governments have a direct ownership of any of the banks, it becomes much easier for them to pick up a phone and say, okay, these are the measures you need to take in terms of helping the borrowers, helping the employees, helping the community. And that is a theme we are seeing across the board in various countries, China, India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines. So different markets are dealing with it in different way. But yes, a closer government ownership helps. In terms of dividend, interestingly, our part of the world is very different from the West. Because in West, what happened was the banks went to policymakers asking for capital 12 years ago. Now, as a result of which, there was a political angle to the forbearance and basically saying don't pay dividends. It was more to show that we are not supporting the banks and all that money is ultimately going to the bank shareholders. So we are not going to repeat the mistake of 2008-09. In our part of the world, and if I see across all the regulators, all the central banks, monetary authorities, they are very clear that as long as you have enough capital to carry on your business, as long as economic logic is there, it is okay to pay dividends. So I think it's a combination of risk management and capital adequacy, and of course, economically, will they be able to handle it? So that is how I would look at it in terms of dividend. And again, this is evolving, but my bias is to say that it is going to be very tough to maintain all cash dividends. Most likely across the region, we will see some form of either reduction in dividend or some sort of move from cash to scrip over a period of time, and most likely discounted scrip.
Harsh, we've got about 1 minute now. Within the region, which banks are poised to weather this COVID-19 storm the best, in your view?
I would say Vietnam banks are probably one of the best positioned right now, followed by Philippine banks. Those markets, banking markets, appear in a better position. Vietnam simply because they were able to manage the health issue faster and better. And they are benefiting from supply chain shifts.
All right. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. And that was Harshvardhan Modi of JP Morgan talking about the banking sector within the region. Now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, a look at Malaysian politics with Ibrahim Sufian of Merdeka Center. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.